James chapter 1. James chapter 1, please, verse 22. Let's stand up, shall we, stretch our kneecaps a little bit. I got to tell you, I told you I love and I like Brother Bell. He's talking about his wife giving directions yesterday. That was hilarious. She gets out of the car, comes over, and helps him try to explain how to get to where he needs to go. She goes back and gets in the car. She gets out of the car, she comes back again, gives him another way to go. Goes back and gets in the car, gets out of the car, comes over, gives him another. By that time, I was dying laughing. I thought it was so funny. But the funniest part is he drove out of there and got lost twice before we got out of the neighborhood. Out of the neighborhood. And that was funnier than her getting out of the car three times. I just thought. The key to a good marriage is two words. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. You say, yes, dear. I learned that from my wife's grandfather. He drove a fuel truck for Shell gas and oil for years. And his wife, my wife's grandma, she was spunky, man. I mean, she was a spunky lady. She could get you to do anything. Anything. I've gone to the store with her before to get something, and this person behind the counter wasn't getting it done. She got it done. A young man, you meant, this is what you're going to do. Now, you're going to go over there and get this. I mean, she was funky. Her husband, my wife's grandfather, was a very quiet man. Very quiet. We're sitting there playing dominoes at the table, and she's saying, Harold, I need you to do so-and-so. Yes, dear. And Harold, when you're done with that, could you get this for me? Yes, dear. Yes, dear. And then he just went back to playing dominoes. And I said, there's the answer right there. Yes, dear, yes, dear. And then just do whatever you want. And it works out perfectly. That way you're a good husband and you stay a man. So it works out fantastically. So that's what I thought yesterday. She gave him all the directions. He wouldn't pay attention. And he goes, watch, you're going to come back over here and help me out again. And she did. And then he got lost. And I thought, there's a man in this car right here. He didn't take those directions for nothing. And just went on down the road. So I like you, preacher. I do. I like you a lot. And I appreciate that. James chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1, 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Our verse for this morning is verse 20, 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. As you know, the book of James is a maturing book, which matures as Christians. Tremendous book. I wish we spent more time in that. I've taught this book several times in our church, read it many times. It always strengthens me. And this passage here, James 1, 22 to verse 20 to 25, of course, talks about the key of your relationship to your Bible. Most Christians that I know anyway have a Bible. Bible-believing Christians believe the Bible. But I was wondering, do you always get everything out of it you should? Because at the end of verse 25, where it says, this man shall be blessed in his deed, is God telling us from that verse, here's how you can get everything you need out of your Bibles. Here's how you can get out of the Bible all that you should. It just seems to me, that I like going to buffets. I have the living proof of that right here. I like going to buffets. I got a wanted poster in every buffet within 50 miles of where I live. Once they're all closed down now anyway, we can't go over there. But the truth is, there's about 50 feet of food in that place. There's no way you can go in there and eat it all. I know I've tried. But the truth is, you don't get everything out of that place when you go there. I wonder, in your relationship with your Bible, are you getting everything out of the Bible, getting the most out of your Bible that you possibly could? This man shall be blessed in his deeds. And I want to talk to you about how to get the most out of your Bible. Father, bless this morning. Please help us today. Thank you, Father, for our brother Cox. Thank you just for the fact to stand up and speak and see and know the touch of God in his life, and then the challenges about our altar. We need, Father, today to know that we can get a hold of our God, and we need to know our Bible needs to get a hold of us. And I pray today that you'll open this up to a simple thing, but God, help us a bit more at this point. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How to get the most out of your Bible. Looking at James chapter 1, verse number 25. I want to sit in that one verse and park there for a moment and look at this. Verse 25. Notice, I'm going to get right into it. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Number one, to get the most out of your Bible, it all depends on how do you look at the Word of God? How do you look at it? Well, look at the verse now that says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Number one, on the eye, looking at your Bible. You want to get the most out of it that you possibly can. Looking at your Bible, how do you look at it? First of all, do you see it as perfect? Do you see it as perfect? We know what perfect means. Perfect means it has all that it has in it. Perfect means it's complete. Perfect means it lacks nothing. Perfect in the simplest form means this. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. When I hear people say, well, Pastor Billy Johnson, I believe the Bible. But you see, and as soon as they start that statement, I would say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do you believe your Bible's perfect or do you believe in the God of Google? Do you believe your Bible's perfect or do you believe what the news tells you? If you do, you're a fool. If you believe your Bible, then you know what? Anytime I see something in there, I read it. If I don't understand it, I know this. There are no contradictions in that book, but there are contradictions up here. This is where the contradiction is. The wires are not touching. That's my problem. And I don't get it. There's things I don't understand. I don't understand things in the Bible. There are things in the Bible I'm still studying. The unjust steward of Luke chapter 16. I don't get that. Did he just tell him to make friends with unrighteous mammon of this world, that unjust steward? Did he tell him to go out and make friends with heathen? No, that can't be right, because we're not supposed to do that. We're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So you know what it means, ladies and gentlemen? I don't know. I teach them at the college there, and I love when I hear a preacher say, I don't know. We always try to fake it, you know, pull it off on people. But as I teach it at the college, I have a class there at Golden State. I teach on senior Bible seminar. And they give me these 15, 20 seniors about to graduate from Bible college their last semester. And I'm supposed to put them on the hot seat. And I'll say, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an A in this class. If you write me a 6-page paper on the unjust steward of Luke 16 and it makes sense to me. I said, now I know you. I've seen that copy right out of a commentary. You know, they lose all the language. You know, you can tell them with the Matthew Henry or somebody like that. And they write all that stuff and all the language, you know, the thithers and the dithers and all the other ithers and all that. And then every now and then put a little stick in there. And he ain't never got no, I said, I'm sorry, no, what he just did. He just copied that out and it stuck. He ain't never got no in between. You know, you can't pull that out with Matthew Henry. You just can't do it. I said, if it'll make sense to me, I'll give you an A. If it's, I've been teaching that class now for years. No one's come up with it yet. I talked to preachers. If I get a minute with you, preacher, I'll talk to you. Explain to me the unjust steward of Luke chapter 16. You say, well, what does it mean, Pastor Johnson? It means I don't get it, but there's nothing wrong with the Bible. I know there's no contradictions in the scripture. There aren't any. Look at me. You can't get something out of a book you don't have confidence in. You can't draw. The law of the Lord is perfect converting the soul. It's perfect. It's not going to be perfect. It is perfect. It isn't perfect. It is going to be perfected. It is already perfected. It's already been tried in the furnace of earth, as Psalm 12:6 tells us. It's already been refined. It's already been purified. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. And if it doesn't suit what man says, the Bible's still right. The Bible is perfect. You can't get anything out of a Bible that's not perfect. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. It means how you look at it, how you see it. My wife will say, honey, look at that guy right there. Doesn't he look like so-and-so? And I look at that guy and go, who? She said, so-and-so, you know. I said, yeah, I know. That guy right there? That guy right there. She said, yeah, doesn't he look like so-and-so? Mm-hmm. And she'll say, well, he's got blue eyes. And I'll go, well, I know he got two of them in the front of his head. I never paid attention to what color they were. I said, babe. Babe, if you're the only person that sees me get murdered, that boy's gonna walk. She'll pick out one thing, and that's how they go. The whole dude looks like that. And I said, how can you? That was your life. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, do you see your Bible as perfect? Look into the perfect. Okay, I said, do you see this? Do you see it as the law? See that word law right there? Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Guys, you know that eight words in Psalm 119 that they are descriptive of what the Bible is. They're descriptive words. And one of them is law. And that word law in Psalm 119 is not referring to the Decalogue, first five books of the Old Testament. That word law means the Bible telling you what to do. You Yankee drivers, you guys are just very polite people. Don't do that in the South, too, by and large, unless you get a couple of rednecks on liquor or something. But other than that, out in California, No. You drive like this out in California, we'll kill you. Oh, yeah. I can't tell how many times I wish I had an RPG in my car. Rocket-propelled grenade launcher, laser sight. So I get behind some dude from Oregon or Washington. I don't even know why they come to California. Those people are crazy. They actually drive the speed limit. You know that? They're a bunch of legalists. And they get out in front of me. They got nowhere to go, and they're in no hurry to get there. And then they get over in the passing lane, and they're not passing nobody, and you won't get out of the cotton-picking way. And I'm scraping the bugs off my bumper on the back of theirs, flashing lights, making hand signs with all my configuration. And I'm not saying, I'm going to get this guy. You didn't get out of the way. If I just had a laser rock RPG, shoot one of the back seats, go by the burning wreckage, shaking my fist at him. You know what? Because that fool is in the stinking passing lane, acting with the nerve to drive the speed limit. Those signs that say, you know, speed limit so-and-so, that doesn't really apply. If you adjust tire pressure and close to the vernal equinox and how far you are from your mom's anniversary, the truth of the matter is you can get another 10 miles out of that. You sure can. I got highway patrolmen in our church. They have an expression in California, highway patrol is this. Go past 9 and you are mine. So you drive up to 9 miles an hour over the speed limit. And they don't even bother you. I pass highway patrolmen. On the highway, 9 miles an hour of the speed limit. There's way better. One of the guys in our church, the highway patrolman, he was driving me down to college to teach down there. Drive 250 miles one way, 250 miles back the same day when I teach there. And he was driving me down. We're driving along the highway. It was just pouring down rain. And this highway patrolman was out there writing a ticket in his little raincoat, you know, writing his ticket out and stuff like that. And my highway patrolman guy in the car, we go by and he goes, "Here's a rookie." If he's not doing 200 miles an hour, even like a drunk, I ain't pulling nobody over in the rain. Just let him go. The law. How do you look at your Bible? Is it your law? Can it tell you what to do and not to do? And listen, when it says in Psalm 119, 165, that you love the law of God. Don't tolerate it. You love it. Don't talk. Hey, you don't, I love the promises about. That's not law. That's not law. The law is telling you what to do, what you can't do, how you live, this mess thing, and all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you what, my part of California, we're supposed to all wear masks in California. Our governor now says we have to wear them in church. We can't sing in church. We can't do all that kind of stuff. We told them to go where we're trying to save people from and just go and do what we're going to do because we're having church. But if people look at you funny out there. You're walking around without a mask on, they look at you like, "What do you think you're doing?" Now, fortunately, no one has said anything to me. Maybe it's my size or the fact that I'm not nice like he is. I'm not sure, but no one said anything to me. But, man, we got mass police out there. Well, don't you realize you're killing people? And I just want to look at it and say, "Do you want to be my next victim?" You see, but Brother Johnson's law is a stupid law. Never understand. Whatever happened in America where we quarantine the healthy? Are we supposed to quarantine the sick? Anyway, the point is, you say, "Well, Brother Johnson, you're supposed to obey the laws of the land." When California, when they put churches below marijuana dispensaries and liquor stores, a bunch of preachers in California, we said, "That's it. We ain't putting up with this anymore. We ain't asking permission either. It's going to do what we're supposed to do." You say, "Well, that's not following the law. It's just following the law of God." It's the law of God. Hey, God's authority is greater than any man's authority. Romans chapter 13, read it. It's in the Bible. The truth is, do you love the Bible telling you what to do? Love it. I don't mean tolerate you. Love it. You look at an old hippie from the 60s, man. You got to be kidding me. I was taught every man marches the beat of a different drummer. I was taught everybody's supposed to do their own thing. That's what I grew up with. That was my life. Then I go to an independent fundamental Baptist church, and these people are preaching against everything but breathing. And I'm sure there's a couple of guys who've been working on that one. The truth is, I'm thinking, "Well, wait a minute." I used to sit in church and go, "Where's this guy coming from? What's he all about? What? You can't listen to what? You can't do what?"
got my heart right with God. You listen to me. I got my heart right with God. And then it changed my whole attitude. And I began to see, you know, the Bible's trying to tell me how to live. That's a good thing. I had a man come visit our church, and he said, I'm not going to your church anymore. You're trying to brainwash me. I said, yes, sir, we are. I admit that. He was, really? Guilty. We try to take your old brain out of your head and scrub it real good and stick it back in there so you get to think it right every week. And yes, sir, we're trying to change your thing. God's trying to change your life, too. You know, that's kind of part of the program. Do you see it as that? Okay, perfect. Do you see it as law? And then look, do you see it as the perfect law of liberty? Is that how you see your Bible? Do you see your Bible as your Bible giving you freedom? Or do you see your Bible like this? Well, there's something else I can't do. And I can't go over there anymore. Now I can't wear that any longer. I can't talk like that. Now I can't listen to that. I can't do this. But you know what? The truth is, the Bible does say, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free and be untangled again with the yoke of bondage. Our Bible gives us the parameters of our freedoms. We live within those three parameters, we're free. You get outside the parameters, you're not free anymore. Then you become entangled again. Why again did you want to go back to that old life? Why again would you want to go back and put the old shackles on? Why again would you want to return to that slavery? Why again would we want to do that? Oh, but you say, oh, but you're Baptist, you can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. You can't live anywhere. You can't. I love how they exaggerate. You have no life. I have a life. I'm sick and tired of people telling me, go get a life. I don't even know where to go get one. No, I live by that stuff. Where if you get to be what you want, do what you want, live the way you want, that's what people think in America today, that's what freedom means. Freedom means you go around tearing down statues and burning down buildings and doing stuff like that. That's freedom. That's called vandalism. It's called wickedness. It's not freedom. God didn't give us freedom so we could go do what we want. He gave us freedom so we could live the way He wanted us to live. And therein is my freedom. I'm free now. You know what? I'm free. I went to bed sober last night. First day in a long time, but Brother Rule said you had beer and wine in his thing. You didn't put any beer and wine in my thing. I appreciate the marijuana and the CBD oil, but you didn't put any of the rest of that stuff in there. I went to bed free last night. You know, I went to bed sober. I laid my head on the pillow. I was tired. And that's in California, it's tired. But I was tired. I laid down tired last night. Woo! Got up this morning. Oh my goodness. Here I am alive. I got on the elevator yesterday preaching to go to my room. I couldn't remember what my room number was. There's too many conflicting hotels lately. I haven't got in the elevator and went to push the button. What floor am I on? I got my little key for my room. You don't have my pocket. Hold on. It may take a while, so just hold still a second. It's coming. Hold on. Yeah, I got a key in my pocket anyway. Doesn't have the room number on. I should write it down on there. The church. Man, I went to bed tired. Well, I didn't wake up with any regrets this morning. Amen. I didn't wake up this morning thinking, oh man, I went and blew it. You know, the truth of the matter is, look at my conscience is free, my spirit is free, my life is free. I am free as long as I do what the Bible tells me to do. You're not going to get anything out of the Bible if you're always resisting what it tries to tell you, always holding out against it, always saying, well, how come we can't do this? And how come we can't do that? Why can't we go over here? Why can't we live like that? The one time, I like to have somebody say, and I got to keep some like nitro pills in my pocket for it, but one time I like to have a Baptist walk up to me and say, what's right with this? Because that's not what they ask us. They ask us, what's wrong with so-and-so? What's wrong with this? Whatever happened to a little rough right with something? Whatever happened to being on the right side of something? How about a little desire for some righteousness in our life? You see what I'm saying? We look at the Bible. Do you look at the Bible as this book right here is keeping my life free. It's keeping my conscience free. It's keeping my family free. It's keeping my living free. It's keeping my life free. I'm free, free, free because I do what the Bible tells me to do and not do. Is that how you look at it? Hey, do you see it as perfect law of liberty? Verse 25, do you continue therein? That's how you get all you can out of your Bible. You got to stay with it. Everything's instantaneous now. How do we ever live without microwave ovens? How? How did we ever get there? People actually used to have to put a pot on the stove and boil the water. No more. 32 seconds later, whoo, you've got a steaming bottle of water. It's unbelievable. You stick a turkey in there and eat it a half hour later. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're getting E. coli because it's still raw. But how did we ever get there? How did we ever get there with microwave ovens? Now, I don't know if you got them out here, preacher. We got these nuts who think there's some kind of waves that come off the microwave. That'll mess up your mind. Now, if you're from California, it's already there, so what's the big deal? One of my kids is like that. They won't have a microwave oven because it emits these rays and stuff. And I go, what is wrong with you? Get your hands, your neck blowing a bubble. I mean, honestly, son, you believe this thing is putting out rays? You've been around all your life. Maybe they do. I don't know. You're looking at you. Maybe you got nukes. I'm not sure. How do we ever get that way? Everything is instantaneous now. We want to push a button and get all we want. We got our watches that we look at. You got one of those iWatches? Do you really? Good. Great. I'm from California. Got a $52 Seiko stainless steel snatch right there. See, I feel good about that right there. They're making fun of us, you guys out there in California, you old hot rods and homosexuals out there, and I'll see you driving no fast car. And he got I got a $52 Seiko stainless steel with a cracked pistol on it. This stinking working little watch man, I've had that watch man for 12 stinking years. Now we can talk to our watch, and our watch will tell us if our heart's beating. If it doesn't, they won't help because you did. And the truth of the matter, everything's instantaneous now. We push a button, boom, we get what we want. We get in the car, we talk to the car. I talked to the car in the 60s. I did. I used to talk to my watch in the 60s. And it used to talk back. And what a theory. Can we believe Jesus? But the truth of the matter is, we want to read one verse and then fix everything we took years. Everything we took years to mess up with. We forget the sow and reaping principle. Now, Brother Will preached on the other night about we're going to reap what we sow. But it takes time to put seed in to get harvest back. Come on, that God put it in the law of nature. It still works like that. It takes time. I was with one of our dear couples one night. Senior couple, and he was getting ready to go to heaven. We're sitting in the hospital room, and he's over there in chain stokes, breathing real heavy, and I'm sitting here with his dear wife, and they've been married for 50, 60 years. It's about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, as a matter of fact. I sit with her, and he'd been in his chain stokes breathing for many hours, and I just sat with her, and we talked, and all of a sudden, he just went, and angels came. That man of God took him out. And when he took that deep breath, I just put my hand out. She put a little withered hand in mine. And Roy there drew his last breath. I said, Roy's in heaven, isn't he? She said, Miss Mary, she goes, yes, preacher. We got up and stood beside the bed and we prayed. 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock. She said, you're going to be tired, aren't you, preacher? I said, no, ma'am, I'll be fine. She said, we take you home. She goes, I'm okay. I'm going to go home. She stood there beside his bed for a bit and took him around her. She said, what a good man. Isn't he ever wonderful? She said, sure is, preacher. I said, sure, it's late. Now, let me take you home. She said, because no, I'm all right. I'll be fine. 3 o'clock Sunday morning. 10 o'clock Sunday school. I went over to him and said, Mr. Mayor, I would feel okay if you slept in and got some rest this morning. She said, no, Richard, we go to church. We go to church.
Right.
Now I got 30-year-olds with toenail fungus. I can't get back to church. I'm not getting it. I don't understand the concept. Yeah, but preaching's difficult. We're all going through stuff. Everybody's got stuff, okay? We all got stuff, but I know one thing. There's something sustaining about this book. And if you continue therein, you stay with it. Good times and bad, high, low, bitter, sweet, you just stay with it. If you continue therein, you'll get something out of that book. I guarantee you'll get a whole lot more in it than putting it aside and grabbing somebody else's book about something. People ask me, have you read so-and-so's book? I read a lot of stuff from the Torah. I enjoy reading and everything else. I always have all my life. But the truth of the matter is, these books that I read, they're encouraging to me. When you were talking about Methuselah today, years ago I was reading a series of sermons by Bob Jones Sr. when he preached in New York City in 1920. And it was a whole series of messages he preached there. He made a comment there. Someone asked him, what do you think about New York City? He said, well, the only difference between New York City and hell is New York doesn't have a river around it. And he was tough, man. And he preaches, I read this whole book, there's probably 20 sermons in there. And a lot of it was just basic salvation, Bible stuff, good stuff, still works too, by the way. But then he made this comment in there, right in the middle of a message. He said, most people are committing the sin of Methuselah. They live 969 years and they die, and that's their life. And I read that statement, I preached a sermon, a message like that to young people, the sin of Methuselah. But what did he do? He lived and he died. He wasted his opportunities. He knew Adam. He lived to the time of the flood. Think about the opportunity this man had. All that kind of it's a whole time I won't preach it. But the truth of the matter is, it's amazing how that the Word of God will be more effective and as effective as you let it be as you stay with that book. To continue therein. Then notice verse number 25 again and said, not be a forgetful hearer. Not a forgetful hearer. See that? You know what forgetting is. It's the problem of the mind. I'm 66 years old. The thing I miss the most is my mind. I called my wife last night. I said, I love you, Linda. Her name's Patty. You know what I'm saying? Boy, she gets upset. Very sensitive person. I used to have a photographic memory, just no filming the camera anymore. I mean, it's over. And I forget stuff. I'll be talking at a conversation or preaching somewhere, and I can't remember. You know, it doesn't come back in the mind like it used to. It's just, whoo, it's in and out. You don't have that problem? Come on, Larry. You know what I'm talking about. Give me a break. The truth is, it's awful. I look at one of my kids and go, what's your name again? No, see, Daddy, don't do that. So I ain't kidding, kid. What's your name? you know what it's talking about here? You know when you get the most out of your Bible? This will sound very simple, but it's true. You don't leave it out of your thinking. See, here's what we do. We make decisions, make choices, do things, and then go, I probably should have thought about that a little bit more. But we need to have the Word of God hid in our hearts that we're not sinning against God. We need to have it so inculcated into, a big word for you, thank you. Inculcated so much in our minds that when we think, we actually think Bible. Instead of looking at something and trying to figure out whether that's right, wrong, good, bad, better, different, we don't have to do that. The Word of God, you say, well, you're, this guy said on the airplane one day, I had my Bible out. He said, oh, you're a man of faith and stuff. I told him, a Christian, man. And I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. He goes, well, let me ask you a question. You believe in life after death? I said, well, the Bible said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Luke chapter 16 talks about a man who died, and one man wound up in hell, the other one wound up in heaven. So most definitely, he goes, whatever. He goes, well, let me ask you this question. He kept asking me a question. I kept giving him Bible for the answer. He goes, hey, sir, he goes, don't you do your own thinking? And I said, used to. Back in the 60s. I did. I quit doing that. He goes, well, I think you ought to use your own mind. I said, well, woodpeckers use their own head, but frankly, I don't do that. The truth is, I let my Bible do my thinking for me now. I mean, that's just how it is. I went down to sit on the plate reading my Bible. By the way, if you want an empty seat, pull one of those out. That pretty much gets you one. The other one is going like this. And then go, I sure hope my test comes back negative. You got the whole plane, man. I mean, you're done. Grocery store, anywhere. You're good, bro. I mean, I'm telling you, people leave you like you got leprosy. This is fantastic. And then there's a man, he's in your Bible. He goes, oh, you're a Bible person. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. He goes, I'm an atheist. I said, no, you're not. He goes, what? I said, no, you're not. I said, sir, think about it for a minute. We're sitting on this airplane, 35,000 feet. You're going to where we told me camp or something. I'm going to Dallas. There's 125 people on this earth. And you sit right next to a Baptist preacher with a Bible in his hand, you ain't no atheist. You thank God, I don't know what is, man. I mean, come on. Really, sir? He goes, I think it's coincidence. I said, I don't think you're thinking right. I said, the truth is, there is no way. That took out a little of those little cocktail napkins or whatever you call them. Is that what they call them? Not biting on it. Okay. Okay, never mind. I drew a circle in there. I said, now, sir, let me ask you a question. Inside the circle, let's say, is all the knowledge of mankind available to man today. How much do you think you have? Let's say you're Einstein, Hawking, square times 2 plus the power of 1 plus the power of 4. Let's say you got a quarter of it. That would make you, like, super brilliant. Don't you think it's even reasonable that in the knowledge that you don't have is the knowledge of God, you're just going to know everything? He goes, interesting. And he wouldn't talk to him anymore after that. You know, people, the truth of the matter is, God didn't give us a Bible to hold it like a piece of property. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Whatever happened to this idea that we meditate on the Word of God? Forget the meditation concept. Doesn't mean you shave your head, burn incense, and sit there and pour some books, okay? Meditate means you take the Word of God. And the word meditate, there's like a cow chewing on cud, right? And you know cows got four tummies or two, I forget. Four, thank you. Thank you, cow people. We need them, but I don't really pay a lot of attention other than that. I drive down the road, see a cow, I go, steak, hamburger. I'm right there with you. I am too. I believe animals have their rights right next to the carrots and the peas and the pig and the gravy and all that stuff. So he chews grass. He eats grass, goes into one set of stomachs. After a while, he brings it up, chews on that, goes into the other side, and without the cud, that cow will die. That's part of his important digestion of a cow. Meditation is chewing the cud. Not tobacco, the cud. And the idea is you take the Bible in. Now look at me, people, look at me. And you meditate on it. You think about it. You actually put your mind on it. And as you put your mind and you think about it, see, we daydream too much. People play video games too much. You guys don't play video games, right? You better not. Let me see, put your thumb up right now. Okay, good. Because the video game people, you always tell their thumbs are thick in their neck. They play these. It's unbelievable. People don't have the ability to concentrate or think about things anymore. Great thinker. We used to build our houses in the old days. We used to build them in meditation places, gardens where you go out and sit, or places in the house. Now you got to have a movie theater. 900,000 square inch television set with an earthquake machine and a smoke machine and recliners and everything else and dim lighting and everything so you can sit there and watch a movie. And with no brains to it whatsoever. We used to have times where people actually went around and thought about stuff. And you get it into your mind to not be forgetful. You get it into your mind, you keep it in your mind, you think about it, you concentrate on it, you meditate on it. Tell you what, it'll nourish your soul, it'll feed your soul, it'll encourage your soul, it'll help you, it'll strengthen you, it'll guide you, it'll direct you. And sometimes God will just reach out, take my foot right there, catch you by the shirt and say, you, that's for you. And it's helpful. You get more out of your Bible. How do you get more out of your Bible? Look at verse 25. Is that little doer word there. But a doer of the work. All that stuff from verse 22 to 24. It's all about being a doer, not a hearer. We used to say in Bible college, man, my life's been changed so many times, I don't know who I am anymore. You know what happens when you're, look at me, you know what happens when you take that book right there, and you take what you know, and then you put it into practice. That book comes alive to you, and you come alive to it. Because you see that thing about praying and loving it up, that works. Where you actually, you know what, you can actually get to God, and you and God can get to anything. I know that. When I'm going through something in my life, my thought is, I got to get with God on this thing. I just got to get with Him. I know what I got to do. I got to get with Him. This virus situation, they shut us down, and the thing, people are saying, what about the government? I say, well, I know about the government, but I know God's on the throne. We just got to get a hold of God, and we got to figure out what we got to do here. And when you get a hold of Him, you take your Bible, and all of a sudden, you ever notice how Spurgeon said, every verse in the Bible is like a jewel with many facets on it. Every time you turn, it illuminates a different thought. It brings out a different idea. The last thing's not been said about any verse in the Scripture. And you take, and that's just one verse, and there's a whole bunch of other ones in there, too. You can even get stuff out of that list of genealogy where Job ever got, Eve ever got, Rebob, and all those things. You know what you get out of that when I read that? Thank God I don't have those stupid names. That's like a kid named Mahershala Hasbaz. Every time I read that name, I think, man, mine were Paul and Jimmy and Bethany and Peter. I mean, no Mahershala Hasbaz, how do you even abbreviate that? I can get stuff out of the genealogies. When you take the Word of God And then look at me, and then you do it. It's not a casual do, man. This is doer. There's not a casual thought here. This is somebody takes that book and says, you know what? I'm going to put it in every area of my life, my marriage, my home, my family, my church. We're just going to do this. We're just going to do what the Bible tells us to do. We've got to be really careful about churches nowadays. We don't turn into gimmick churches. We're all in gimmick churches. Now, this is just me. This is not anywhere else. It's probably just me in Chasen Baptist Church in Redding, California. I don't care for the big promotion stuff where you're cutting off the devil's head and giving everybody a trip to the Holy Land and all that kind of stuff. I'm not big on that. If you do that, I'm happy for you. You do that. I've preached churches before where the big promotion that day and everybody comes and gets to go to the Holy Land. I'm thinking, so what do you do? We preach the Bible. I mean, I just figure you preach the Bible, people get saved, God does the work, you win souls, you just do what you're supposed to do. Because that's, I don't find the rest of that stuff in there. People do it fine. Again, I'm not telling anybody else what to do. That's what I love about being independent Baptist. Then he said, well, our church says, oh, they're fine. I'll tell the kids at the college, if I see something don't agree with your preacher's right. And if you go home and correct your preacher, I'll hunt you down and gut you with a dull deer hammer right in front of everybody. Don't you mess with me. I'll tell you what I believe and where I stand on some stuff, and then we'll just kind of go from there. We're good to go. There's something about taking the doer of the Word of God. When you put it in, it's a practical book. It's eminently practical. There's so much to it that we can just, it's true love of Christianity. You just put it into practice. But the doing of it is what makes you be blessed in your deed. You have to have your look at it, that you continue with it, huh? That you keep it in your thinking, and then you do it. You just do it. Lady brings her son to me one day, a little boy about 19 years old. She said, preacher, he's a habitual liar. What do I do? I said, well, he's got a career in politics. She said, would you talk to him? I said, I will. So she brings him in my office, sits him down there. I look at him with a pointed head. Pardon, what's the deal? He goes, no, Pastor, I just lied. I said, okay. You know how we can fix that, don't you? He goes, no. And he sits on the edge of his chair, and I said, tell the truth. Just tell the truth, son. Whenever you think you're going to lie, just tell the truth. You got it? Good. Let's pray. Father, bless this little man right here, and he'll feel him tell the truth. I'm writing a book on counseling. It's like 2 pages long. Page one is, are you a knucklehead? That's another statement. But the boy gets up and goes out there. 2 weeks later, his mom comes in. Preacher, I don't know what you said to him, but he has been so honest. I said, no problem. 4 years of ministry right there. I'd love to know what you tell him. I said, no, it's a secret. I'm sorry, but I can't share that with you. Now, what did you tell him? What, you're reading the bumps on his head and finding his aura? I mean, what were you doing? Did you see if he's eating organic cereal? Is that what you're concerned about? It's the, just tell the kid, tell the truth. Don't put your little tar out here if you don't tell the truth. I mean, come on. How simple is this? It's a practical book. You just do what it tells you to do. Well, it's not that simple. No, it is. It is that simple. It may not be that easy, but it's that simple. Think about over your lifetime, all the mistakes you ever made for your perfectionist. That's you too. The truth of the matter is, think about this for just a moment. All the mistakes I've ever made in my life are the days mistakes and choices I made outside the Word of God. That's why this book is infallible. Infallible. We'll not fail you, and you will not fail in it. No, you won't. Well, I know somebody went to church all the time, they ruined their life. I can tell you what they did. Somewhere along the way, they left the Bible out, and that's how they messed their life up. Because the Bible doesn't mess people up. That goes back to point one. It is perfect. There's nothing wrong with that book. It is perfect. It's got everything in it, and there's nothing wrong with it. And my doing needs to have the mentality of, well, I don't always understand how things work out. I don't always understand how can 9/10 go further than 10/10? First of all, that's not where your giving should be. That's where it should start. Then you should go from tithes to offerings, et cetera. We won't go into the money part because we're too close to lunch. Here's the deal. How can that work? Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot read a financial advisor on this planet that will tell you 9/10 will go further than 10/10. But that's not the point. It's a principle of faith. You do it, and you know what? Not only does God make 9/10 go further than 10/10, He makes 9/10 go a lot further 10-10 split, because if you rob God, you wind up giving it to a mechanic, you wind up giving it to a doctor, you wind up giving it to some other business of some kind. You're going to give it up anyway. Well, you must give it to God. And just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Why do you make them walk around the walls of Jericho? What's the name for 6 days, 7 times on the seventh day? I mean, honestly, if you look at that, that's not really the way you conquer a massive walled city. But why once a day for 6 days? I mean, what's the joke here? Those people in Jericho, they're up there on the wall going, look at those idiots. First day, they thought, okay, they're trying to find a belief. Then they're looking. Second day, they're still looking more. Third day, what is up with these guys? Fourth day, they're up there throwing toilet seat covers at them. Woo, woo, Texas t-shirts. Woo, woo. What is it? They're just walking around the wall. What is that all about? And then the seventh day, they're going to go another lap, under another lap, and they're hanging out. They're going, these guys are idiots. What are they up to up there? And when they stopped and said, shout, and the Lord has given us the city, God knocked the walls down. That didn't make any sense, but I tell you what it was. It was called simple principle of trust and obey. There ain't no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. You just do it. I'm sorry that our lives have become so complex that we've forgotten, beware lest Satan, the value of the simplicity that is in Christ. You want to get everything out of your Bible? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Or now it's this afternoon. How do you see it? You want to stay with it. Well, I tried that. Don't try it. No. We try stuff. We'll try things. But don't try the Bible. You stay with it. You stay with it like it's life and breath and help and seeds and milk and water and meat and foundation and light and direction and guidance and hope. It's my only chance. The Bible. I've got to stay with this book. You continue therein. And then keep it in your thinking. Get so much in the Word, God, hide it, memorize it, meditate on it, think about it. Get the Bible so inundated that when something comes up, you just look at it and go, man, that ain't right. And the Bible would help you do your thinking for you. And then just do it. Well, I'm not so sure I can. Well, you probably can't, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can. Father, help us this morning, this afternoon, now, on this time. Help us to get all we can out of our Bibles. Help us to go to the altar, God. Stay at that altar. And with our Bibles, stay with you and let you help us in our life. Bless what we have heard this day, we ask. His bowed eyes closed.